fighting for America.
This is a bigger issue than Tony. This highlights a universal problem with law enforcement and how its procedures have been carried out, especially in light of what's happened over the summertime.
Fighting for Idaho.
If you buy 100 books of authoritative Islamic law, what you're going to find is 100% of those books say that jihad is obligatory until the entire world is under Islamic rule. There's no other version of it.
Fighting for you.
School districts, again, have been levying in order to just keep the doors open, let alone keep programs going for our students.
Voice Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, thanks for starting your day with us. Do appreciate it. You're listening to 580 KIDO. Some great blogs, by the way, if you are a fan of Game of Thrones. You can take a look at the Game of Thrones blog, where we have the new trailer. You're thinking, Kevin, how big is Game of Thrones? Well, it was the most pirated show. That's right. I guess you'd say the most pirated show in television history. And so HBO has decided to do this. This is how everything is changing. Just this instant dynamic that we have. That HBO apparently, because they're so tired of their show getting stolen and ripped off, that when Game of Thrones premieres, and now I think they've gone into the Netflix model, so you can get HBO Go, so you don't even have to buy HBO. So when Game of Thrones premieres, they're actually going to, how should we put this? They're going to run the episodes simultaneously around the world. I think it's on in 170 countries. Does that sound right? To smack down the digital piracy. Amazing. Coming up, Senator Risch will join us. We are also taking your calls on eminent domain. We had Sandy Smith call in, Eagle property owner of the gas station there that's been vacant for many years. Now all of a sudden the city, through the Urban Renewal Board, which is made up of the city council folks in Eagle, have decided they're going to take part of it. She wants them to stop. There is a movement in the legislature. How much power should these communities have? To Sherry with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Living the dream.
Very good. That sounds great. Hey, Kevin, I just want to say, you know, I've been listening to your show for a little while, and this lady that calls in from Eagle that has that property on State Street.
Right.
Well, I lived in Eagle for 20 years. I saw the development go on in that town.
Now, Sherry, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Can you hang on for a minute?
Sure.
All right. Ray's going to talk to you for a minute, but we do have Senator Risch, and I know he's very busy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Well, we're just going to talk about property rights and eminent domain in Eagle, but I guess we'll go on to you and the Iranians and the Hillary Clinton newsletter.
I apologize for the short string I'm on this morning. We're in the Foreign Relations Committee's meeting. In fact, I just stepped out of it. We're hearing the proposal by the president for the authorization of use of military force in Syria and Iraq. Obviously, a serious matter, and we've got a number of witnesses in there we need to hear from. So I apologize that it's going to be a little shorter maybe this morning than what I'd like, but it is what it is. So have at it, Kevin.
Oh, no, sir. No need to apologize. We appreciate it. We'll make it very quick. The fallout concerning the letter to the Iranian government, you've been very vocal. We saw you last night on CNN. Your thoughts?
Well, this is probably one of the most serious issues that I faced since I've been here. This continuing effort by the Iranians to build a nuclear weapon and obtain a nuclear weapon is something that will affect generations to come. If they are successful in getting a nuclear weapon, all of their neighbors in the Middle East will do so, be it Saudi Arabia, be it Egypt, be it all of those countries. They have said that they would have to arm if Iran does. The United States obviously is very much against this, but if you think we're against it, if you're one of their neighbors, you should hear them talk about it. They are very much against it. And these people are that that the administration is dealing with are not to be trusted. They're enemies of the United States. They have a long, long history lying to us and cheating. And frankly, anything we can do to stop them from getting nuclear weapons should be explored. And that includes the negotiations that are going on. I don't like the way they're going. I think most members of Congress don't like the way they're going. The administration themselves say they don't like the way that it's going and think that this probably is, more likely than not, it's not going to succeed. I think everybody is the frame of mind that we that no deal is substantially better than a bad deal. And frankly, the administration is not listening to Congress, and so thus the letter. And it's interesting to see that the administration is defending the Iranian administration, but it is what it is there, too.
Senator, two more quick questions. Number sure. one, how concerned are you about this hearing that you're into that you had to step out for a minute when we're talking about the authorization of use of force?
I didn't understand the question, Kevin.
I'm trying to talk a little too fast. My bad on that one. But
no, that's all right.
We're talking about, you know, the reauthorization or the use of force in the Middle East. Once again, I know you're very concerned that our troops are used effectively and that we have a coherent strategy to use them.
That's a really good question. And that's what this is all about. I mean, I think most everyone is convinced that something's got to be done about this. And this group, this ISIS group that has emerged, is making Al-Qaeda that brought down the Twin Towers and have done other things, making them look like a choir boys with the atrocities that they commit. So you get into the weeds a little bit on this, but what they're trying to do is establish a caliphate. They're the ones right now carrying the flag of radical Islam. And as a result of that, they're drawing fighters from all over the world. There's other groups of radical Muslims who want to be the lead dog, if you would. And this group has emerged as that. And they're well-funded. They're at times, they've taken as much as $2 million a day from oil sales and kidnappings and also just from contributions from wealthy radical Islamists. And this has got to be contained. And how we go about it is a matter of very vigorous debate here in Washington, D.C. And that's what this is all about right now. I think everybody's in the frame of mind that we're going to have to do something. What we're going to do and how we're going to go about it is a matter of a vigorous debate, which it should be. That's where this stands right now. Again, a sober thing, but most everyone is of the frame of mind that we're not going to do what we've done in recent wars, where we wind up putting 100,000 plus troops on the ground. One of the things that has struck me in the years that I've been here is how quickly technology has changed the way we fight these kind of wars and the kind of wars that we're fighting. This is all done now in recent months from the air using both manned and unmanned aircraft. And they've been very, very successful. Indeed, I would argue as successful as boots on the ground. Now, there are people who disagree with me and say you have to put boots on the ground. But the good news there is that that our Arab allies have stopped talking about this in terms of a third party. They now talk about we. They now understand that this radical Islamic movement is as much a threat to their country as it is to other countries. They've seen these people bring down governments, most recently in Yemen and other places. And now these other Arab nations see that this is a serious threat and are actually committed to putting boots on the ground, and they've done so.
Senator, final thought, former Secretary of State Clinton defending her private server. How serious is this?
You know, I think that remains to be seen, Kevin. Kevin, you know, with the Clintons, what you can predict is this is going to go on for a long, long time. Remember how many months people wrung their hands over Whitewater, and eventually, if it goes on long enough, it just kind of goes away. Same thing with Benghazi. I mean, that's still going on, and look how long ago that's been. We never get to the bottom of it. So I expect that's probably how this is going to go. There's obviously stuff that they don't want us to see. They're refusing to give access to the private server where these things were stored. And her excuse that, first of all, it was for convenience. Well, that's nonsense. I mean, everybody back here carries two devices. One is the official one that you do business on, and of which there's a public record, and the other is your own private one, which you cannot do a public business on. So that excuse doesn't carry much water. And then her other excuse was, she said the vast majority of her emails were with people in the State Department and what have you, and those emails were caught on the other end when they were received. Well, maybe, but what about the ones that went to foreign governments or for that matter, were solicitations for money for their charity or foundation or whatever it is? Those are the ones that I think people are going to want to have a look at, and we'll never see those, I don't think. So anyway, it could be serious. I guess it depends on how it plays out over time, and the one prediction is it is going to take time, because that's just the way they do business.
Senator, we really appreciate you taking time for us today. Have a good one.
Kevin, nice to talk to you.
Take care. There you have it. Senator Risch just stepping out of the Foreign Relations Committee hearing to talk to us. Shows you how significant and special you are to Senator Risch. We go back to Sherry at 580KIDO, and if you're just tuning in, we were talking about eminent domain. Welcome back, Sherry. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. Hey, Kevin, I just wanted to reply to Sandy that has that property on Eagle Road. In Eagle on State Street?
Sure.
Well, first of all, I lived in Eagle for 20 years, so I'm very familiar with that town. And there's only a couple words that kind of come to my mind when I think about people like her. And it's her being selfish and, just not thinking about others. I mean, she's had this property. She doesn't live in it. We all have experienced a loss of property. At least we know somebody that has. I mean, when I was growing up, my whole front yard got taken to better our city. I have a brother-in-law that's losing his dream home on a river because of floods. And she's holding on to a property because of greed. And she's only thinking of herself about that, because Eagle needs that property. It is at a stagnant. It's stagnant until something happens to that property, and it's an eyesore. So I don't understand why she's so stuck on that. She just has to get the best dollar. I just think that's what's wrong with our world today, is people thinking about just themselves and not anybody else. And that really bothers me, not her.
So you're backing the city council and the Urban Renewal League.
Absolutely. You know, we have to, sure, we're going to lose things sometimes. You know, it's tough. But you know what? Sometimes you have to kill one person to save millions. And in this case, so you're not going to get exactly what you want from your property. Well, you're still going to get something. And you know what? 14 years, the city has been patient with her, and she's still holding on to it because she wants $750,000. Like, get over it. Stop thinking about yourself and think about the rest of the community. I just think it's ridiculous. So yeah, I'm back in the city. They need to do what they have to do for growth. And that's just the way it is. Happens all over the world.
Sherry, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So there you have it, both sides of the eminent domain debate. We'd love to hear from you and your reaction to all five levies passing. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Eight 25, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We go to Scott in Boise. Good morning, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Kevin, one of the things I appreciate most about you is the time that you give veterans on your program to talk about things that matter most in life, the land of the free, the home of the brave, things that they fought for. And in the case of eminent domain, the land of the free, the home of the brave. This woman lawfully owns a piece of land. It's hers. It's hers. She wants $750,000. She wants $1 million. Whatever she wants, that's her land. And I think it's interesting when I listen to veterans talk about the sacrifices that they've made, whether it's secondhand smoke, whether it's who owns the property across the street. I'm constantly amazed whenever I have the privilege to talk with Vietnam vets, Korean War vets, or if I'm lucky enough to be able to interact with Second World War vets, constantly amazed at how strong their speech is and how little whining comes from their mouths. These are people that really understand what it means to fight for the land of the free and the home of the brave without focusing on a little speck in their neighbor's eye. Love this about your program.
Well, Scott, we appreciate it. And again, it comes down to, I think there's something personal between the folks in Eagle and Sandy, and that's been going on for quite some time, and they're fed up with her, and now she's going to have to take them to court.
Well, we're still the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I hope that your property, someday if you want to have a ranch, whatever the case, I think the people like Tony Snezko that you've had on your program fought in Vietnam for you to be able to have that property, or for me to someday perhaps have a ranch, something that we can actually say is ours. And there is a case to be made for fighting for those things, that property, which is ours. We can put a flag in it. We can stand out, and we can have a cigarette. I don't smoke. But we really need to focus on what it means to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. I appreciate you so much.
Scott, God bless. Take care, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Jerry in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being part of our day here.
Listen, I want to comment on some of your previous callers. The last guy that was just on?
Yes.
I totally agree with that guy. This is America, a land of the free. And the lady who was on before your last commercial break, I think her name was Sherry.
Yes.
What planet is she from? Just get over it. This is America. You don't have to get over it. So that's her property. She doesn't have to get over it. And I think this goes back, this might go back to a problem that Sandy had with the city 20 years ago. I haven't listened to your whole show. I don't know if this has come up. But there was kind of a scandal out in Eagle that I don't believe made the newspapers. They had a sign ordinance fiasco out there right when Sandy had moved from her old property to the new Chevron that she owns right now. The city of Eagle had passed around some list of all the violators of their signage rules that they had, and they wound up, had a sheriff's deputy come out, because she had a banner up, like a grand opening banner or something, and the sheriff's deputy came out and told her she had to remove the sign, and there was a big deal about it, and she wound, I don't know if she was technically arrested, but I know she was handcuffed and put in the cop car, and so maybe some of her animosity toward the city might stem from the fact that the city was so rough-handed with her back in the day. Maybe that's why she has the attitude of, I don't care what the city wants, this is my property. I support her. I would feel the same way that she does. You know, this is my property, and I'll sell it when someone offers me what I want for it, and that's the way it should be. That's her property. One of the fundamental principles of freedom is the freedom to own property. Without the freedom to own property, what other freedoms do we have?
You're right, right.
And so I hadn't heard anybody bring up, you know, her issue with the city 20 years ago. I used to work out in Eagle 20 years ago, and everybody that I knew that worked around there, they all heard about her getting arrested. And so
well, no, I've heard about, you know, her in the gas station for many, many years.
Well, right, but it's right when her new gas station was opening, that's when she had a problem with someone in the city called to have her, to have a sheriff's deputy come out and order her to remove that sign because it was in violation of their sign ordinance, which part of the scandal that I referred to was Rick Isaguirre, who's now county commissioner, he owned a couple different properties, a couple businesses in downtown Eagle. He was the worst violator of the sign ordinance, and his name was not on the list. So that kind of pisses people off, excuse my language, when government officials, at the time he worked for the city, I think he was a city councilman out in Eagle, or I don't know, was he mayor? I can't remember very clearly 20 years back who did what, but I know he was not on that list of the sign violators. The company I worked for was on the list. We had to remove all our signage. And so the city council of Eagle making a big deal about her having an illegal sign up.
Sure.
When the city council people, they're the worst violators, and they weren't on the list.
Jerry, but, I appreciate the phone call. We've got to run. Thank you. Much more coming up. We'll talk Hillary Clinton, eminent domain, and school bonds with you next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We went through a thorough process to identify all of my work-related emails and deliver them to the State Department. At the end, I chose not to keep my private, personal emails. Emails about planning Chelsea's wedding or my mother's funeral arrangements, condolence notes to friends, as well as yoga routines, family vacations, the other things you typically find in inboxes. No one wants their personal emails made public, and I think most people understand that and respect that privacy.
There you have it. It's all those vast right-wing Republicans that want her yoga routine. If only we had the yoga routine of Hillary Clinton. One man who's already sketching out the routine, Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO.
Kevin, if we saw Hillary Clinton doing a yoga routine, they'd have to arrest her. She'd look like a terrorist.
Wow.
I just want to make a quick comment on the eminent domain. You know, government should not be able to condemn property without paying whatever the asking price is. Otherwise, it becomes legalized theft. As far as Hillary Clinton, the bigger question about Hillary Clinton email scandal is it gives you a look into how she's going to act if she became president. Do we really want another president who will break any rules that they don't like as our current one does? Now, you have Obama II getting ready to run for president. If anyone knows anything about Hillary, about Clinton's presidency, it was loaded with scandal, both personally and professionally. It began with Whitewater, the Clinton pardon controversy, Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky, the impeachment. It just goes on and on. You know, in fact, if you got to Wikipedia, Clinton scandals, you have a whole page of them listed there. Now, if you've thought scandals were bad in the Clinton administration, wait till you see what Hillary will have to offer us should she be elected. She's going to make Obama and what he's done look like child's play. Just look at how she handled Benghazi and still hasn't answered all the questions about what happened. And by the way, we have yet to find out where all the money is coming from for the Clinton Foundation. You know, $500,000 was donated just by the Algerian government, and he's raised $2 billion since 2001. Where has that money gone?
They were broke. They were broke, they were homeless after the White House because they gave everything that they could. Let me share this with you.
This were Dick Cheney, and he said, I have my own server, and I deleted emails I want to delete, and you guys get
30,000
the ones
emails.
I give you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, there would be...
A federal judge
would be
compelling production immediately.
I mean, if it were Dick Cheney and his yoga routines, we'd know about him already.
Well, with the Democrats, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. You know the way it goes. You know, I'm only hoping that what happened with Obama, when so many Americans voted him in, much of the reason because he was black, don't vote for Hillary because of her gender.
Well, she's going to play that. You know, you hear the clip all the time. Are we ready for a woman president?
Well, that's what I fear, you know. But Einstein said doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity.
I think, unfortunately, the challenge here is if you take a look at Hillary Clinton, if she's going to just run solely on gender, because her career as a Secretary of State has been a disaster.
Our career period has been a disaster. What has she actually done?
Doesn't that demean all women? Isn't that a sexist comment because you need a woman? So we're not going to elect you based on your qualifications. We're going to elect you on your gender.
How did we elect Obama? Nobody read the resume. If she gets elected, it's going to be the same story. You don't read the resume, and you elect somebody who is going to screw the country up. It's scary. It really is.
That's what we like to do, wake people up and scare them.
Hey, every time I wake up in the morning and look at the news, I get more scared. Crazy things going on.
You'll only hear that here, folks.
Hey, listen, you have a great show this morning. Thanks a lot. We do appreciate it.
I like that when people say that as if it's not a great show every day. I'm starting to get insecure.
Oh, no, don't get insecure. You're doing a wonderful job. You wouldn't have all these callers if you weren't doing such a good job.
I thought that was pretty funny, though. When people, hey, great show today. Today?
Keep doing what you're doing, my friend. We need you down here in the Treasure Valley.
God bless you, Tea Party Bob.
Have a good day.
Our friend Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot, gemstatepatriot.com. Well, we have talked a bunch about eminent domain. Let's get to the story that I thought we would really be going back and forth with all day from Channel 7.
Where they're counting the votes. They're just about finished here, and results are coming in for the West Ada school bond. They have 70% in favor with about 80% of precincts reporting. I'm joined here by Dr. Linda Clark, the superintendent of West Ada. So what's going through your mind right now?
Well, we're very happy, of course, and we're very appreciative of all the folks who work so hard. On this, our parents, our community, the Chambers of Commerce, the mayor's office, everyone. We made a big commitment to our public that the tax levy will not increase, and we will see that through. Homeowners' school taxes will only raise if the value of their houses raise. And I think that's an important message we want to send out to every voter tonight. But we have a lot of gratitude for a lot of people who work to make this happen.
A lot of this is because of kind of the growing pains in your district. I mean, your district has grown a lot, and that's kind of given birth to the need for this. Can you speak to that a little?
It's all about growing pains. I think most folks are surprised to learn that we grew by an average of 500 students a year during the downturn. We haven't been out for a bond for 10 years, and during that time we've grown by several thousand kids. And we have absorbed them by doing every creative thing we could think of to maximize our current facilities. Growth is real. This is just addressing the current overcrowding, but more growth is coming.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Clark. We spoke to a lot of voters today about how they were feeling about this bond. We spoke to several dozen voters. None of the no voters wanted to go on camera, but we did speak to a couple.
That's right, you no voters. You're not going on camera. Thank you to Channel 7 doing a wonderful job there setting the story up for us, but 5 for 5? You know, just when you think that you have kind of figured out Idaho politics, Idaho values, and let me point it out for you. We had Props 1, 2, and 3 passed, then repealed. We had the controversy over Common Core, which is still resonating in the legislature. We had the state school superintendent race. We had one candidate, A.J. Baluchoff, that spent a lot of his money, a lot of his time, $4 million and then some, focusing in on education. He was beaten by the governor. Then you think, well, maybe the education silver bullet's over, and then you have the levies going 5 for 5. Amazing. And, you know, a lot of folks are very upset, very disappointed, because this same West Ada Meridian bond was defeated just, what, 3, 6 months ago? I mean, should there be a moratorium on you can only go to the well how many times? Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin Miller.
Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
You know, we have to look back and remember the Clinton's history. A lot of people either don't know or have forgotten. You know, I was a shortwave fan and would listen to a lot of my news on shortwave long before there was internet.
I never would think you as a shortwave fan. Never in my wildest dreams.
Hey, short wave, long wave, medium wave, it's all good.
Sure.
Larry Nichols, he was one of the insiders during the Clinton years in Arkansas.
Did a lot former state trooper, right? And didn't he? He was involved in several of the DVDs, I remember, if I correctly.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. And he was sponsored by a lot of people. They kept him on the short wave as long as they could till his health failed. And recently he resurfaced. And I want to get some information on that. But you know, I remember the big treasonous thing that Bill did, and it just seemed to have got swept under the rug. You know, there was a manufacturer in Arkansas, and they manufactured the best biological weapons tank incubators in the world. And China wanted to buy them. China wanted to buy them. Bill finally signed off and let them buy four of them. So China now is able to manufacture bioweapons thanks to Bill Clinton. You know, why are these things not addressed? And we should trust Hillary. You know, that's
well, look, you ask most leaders in Idaho, they're going to tell you the Chinese are our friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. No, they don't have any land here, even though there's a federal website, which Phil didn't know about, that shows where both of these are at, and it's all in there. You know, Kevin, they want to turn their head. But, you know, now that the prosperity dragon is winding down across the country, people are going to waken up more and more to the truth, and that you can count on. I just hope it's before it's, times force them into only dealing with the truth. You know, I'd like to see people have a little more recreation in their life at a later point, but I think things are going to get so serious that it's going to be some real hardcore reality.
Well, I think the problem is people recreate too much.
Well, you know, and Chris Troop has said it well. Jump on that four-wheel, drink that beer, we'll run the country for you.
Ride your ATV and watch sports, we'll run the country.
Well, you know what's coming, and there are those that are awake that know what's coming.
What about the school district?
What about the school district? You know,
everybody's paying now.
Everybody's paying. Mm-hmm. Everybody's paying. You know, when you look at the school district, you know, my initial contact out here was with a woman whose daughter had to take a job tremendous job cut at one of the school districts out here, and had been with them for quite some time just so they would keep her. It sounds like money is the issue. As much as I hate to say that, I don't want to sound like a liberal, but it sounds like money is the issue. You know, and attracting qualified personnel to be in Idaho to do this probably seems to be the only solution. I don't know. You know, and I don't know that. It took, I think, Idaho a while to realize that we are entering an international job market. We are now competing on an international basis. It's just not national anymore. And they just need to prepare the children. And unfortunately, there's so much federal and involvement in what is education, what isn't. You know, you and I both know that it has so much become indoctrination rather than education. You know, and that came out during the Reagan administration.
Well, but, great point, Terry. I got to run.
Have a good one, Kevin. Thanks.
Thank you. It is 8:50, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Chance of showers coming up. Let's take a look at traffic. It might
seem crazy what I'm about to say. I appreciate you, Kevin. I'm your biggest fan.
Yes, good morning, Kevin. I love your show, by the way.
You got a great show. I sure appreciate it. Kevin, you are my morning.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Madam Secretary, State Department rules at the time you were Secretary were perfectly clear that if a State Department employee was going to be using private email, that employee needed to turn those emails over to the State Department to be preserved on government computers. Why did you not do that? Why did you not go along with State Department rules until nearly 2 years after you left office? And also, the President of the United States said that he was unaware that you had this unusual email arrangement. The White House Counsel's Office says that you never approved this arrangement through them. Why did you not do that? Why have you apparently caught the White House by surprise? And then just one last political question, if I might. Does all of this affect your decision in any way on whether or not to run for president?
Well, let me try to unpack your multiple questions. First, the laws and regulations in effect when I was Secretary of State allowed me to use my email for work. That is undisputed. Secondly, under the Federal Records Act, records are defined as recorded information regardless of its form or characteristics. And in meeting the record-keeping obligations, it was my practice to email government officials on their state or other .gov accounts so that the emails were immediately captured and preserved. Now, there are different rules governing the White House than there are governing the rest of the executive branch. And in order to address the requirements I was under, I did exactly what I have said. I emailed two people, and I not only knew, I expected that then to be captured in the State Department or any other government agency that I was emailing to at a .gov account. What happened...
And it goes on and on and on. Kevin Miller with you here. You know, I think Tea Party Bob hit it out of the park this morning, as he usually does. This is a preview of Hillary 2016 when she takes the oath of office. And those of you that are nostalgic for the 90s, well, it'll be the 90s all over again, except Bill kind of charmed us when he was not obeying the rules. I don't know if she has that gift, that grit. Time for traffic now at 5. And coming up tomorrow, much more on the Clinton email shenanigans scandals. I do want to get into why people voted for the bonds, the levies. Good day. God bless. Thank you all for listening. And remember, keep the faith.